Today, where has all the foreign money gone? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian and New Zealand flavour. And today I'm joined again by property expert Joe Wilkes from New Zealand. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Martin.
So the money's disappearing.
Yes, it's evaporated. And to be fair, in New Zealand, the foreign buyer ban was put in place to curtail overseas investment into the property market. But it has disappeared quite dramatically. And it's very interesting. Now we're starting to get some figures coming forward from Stats New Zealand that talk about the drop off in the total purchase volumes. And I want to just sort of explore this from a little bit more of a holistic view of what that means from a credit perspective. And also we're seeing a net outflow of sales by foreigners, which are greater than the purchases by foreigners. So there is going to be an outflow of money. And we've still got, as we mentioned in our selling everything but the kitchen sink post, we're still selling all of our business assets. So Vodafone, that deal's now gone through, and there'll be an increase in purchasing of New Zealand dollars to pay for that acquisition, which is partly Canadian funded. And we've also now got the overseas investment approval of the sale of Westgate Farms down on the South Island, which is not a full purchase, but two yearly, the Chinese dairy conglomerate. So that again will be net inflows of money. But I want to talk about the outflows today and how the change in this foreign buyer removal will have an impact around the country, as we talked about in our marginal buyer post the other day. Should we talk about the numbers?
Well, let's get into some details, but just as a way in, of course, we reposted your marginal buyer post from last November, and I have to say you were totally prophetic, not pathetic, but prophetic with regard to how it's played out, and I think the numbers reinforce that, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess if you just start by, we'll start with talking about the drop-off in sales volumes, and these figures come from the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand. Residential sales comparing the first 6 months of 2018 to 2019. Now, if you look at these sales, and these have come from Mike up in Auckland, who's been vociferous and has also been providing this data on news channels like interest.co.nz without yet being banned. But I fear for Mike, and I hope he lasts. He's telling far too much truth. Auckland total sales are down in 2019's first 6 months. They were 16,726 in the first half of last year. They're down to 13,010, which is a minus 22.2% fall in the volume of transactions, so the volume of new money being created. Residential sales only, so this doesn't include section sales and land and new homes packages. They are down from 11,124 to 9,361. That's down 15.85%. Now for some really telling statistics. The 3 million plus market, and when we talk about the auctions in Auckland over the last few years and the frenzy that we were seeing at the auction houses, much of this was taking place at the upper end of the market, where it wasn't almost about what people were paying for a house. It was about the fact that they just were going to have it and they were going to try and ship as much money into the Auckland market as they could. So 3 million plus sales are down from 266 sales in the first half of last year to 158 this year. That's a fall of 40.6% over a 6 month period. 2 to 3 million are down 38% from 558 to 346 sales. 1.4 to 2 million, and this is, I'd probably say, where you get more of the natural New Zealand market and people leveraging up into sort of the nice family homes. That's down 23% from 1,200 sales to 923. Essentially, everything above 1.4 million is down 29.5%. So that's a, you know, almost 30% fewer transactions taking place. And that's going to have a knock-on everywhere as that money gets spread and filtered around other suburbs and other regions of the country. 1.2 to 1.4 million, down 23%, 1,119 to 856. The 800 to 1 million is down 8.3%. Less impact. This is where first-time buyers are still borrowing an awful lot to get into this market, but a fall from 2,577 to 2,362. The 6 to 800 bracket down to just 7%. That's from 3,002 to 2,789. And the 3 to 600 brackets down 24.7% from 1,288 to 970. So across the board, there is this drop off in the number of transactions. You've got to remember that these transactions in 2018 weren't peak transactions. The peak in volumes actually happened in 2015-16. So there's an enormous amount of liquidity that's being stripped out of the market. And I did a bit of a back of the fag packet calculation for you. I haven't smoked for many years, but I still like the idea. It's a nice expression. Now, the overseas investment ban has had an impact in Q2. We've now got the data for the number of sales that were made to foreign individuals compared to last year. Now, in Q2 last year, there were 1,116 sales across New Zealand made to foreign-based purchasers. That has fallen in Q2 of 2019 to 183. That's huge.
It's a big drop.
It's absolutely huge. Now, there were 933 fewer sales, that means, in Q2. Now, if you look at the data from last year, this got bigger. So as people were rushing to get money out of China predominantly, they weren't the only ones, but they were the large driving force in this market. Those sales actually got bigger in quarter three and quarter four. So just playing devil's advocate, I'm going to predict that over the course of this year, we're going to see this continue. And what we're going to see is that 933 in one quarter multiplied out. So I've called that four lots of 933, 3,732 foreign buyers missing. Now, we grew credit last year by about $12, $13 billion of household debt in New Zealand. But that doesn't factor in the debt that was raised offshore by foreign banks and then arrived in New Zealand as cash to buy these property assets. Because a lot of these foreign purchases have taken place at the top end of the market, I'm going to say that the average foreign buyer purchase is probably far greater than the average price of a property in New Zealand, which is in the mid-600s at the moment. So what I've just complained devil's advocate, but what I'm going to say is that if the average purchase price of a foreign buyer was, say, 900,000, and that's not unrealistic, particularly if you look at the weight of transactions going on in Auckland, where the average price was over a million last year, that's 3.35 billion missing liquidity that we've got to find with new debt in the Auckland market and around the country. Now, typically 40% of transactions around the country happen in Auckland. I think it's probably a far higher proportion of the foreign buyers buying in Auckland. But say 40% of transactions in the first 6 months of last year, first 6 months of this year were in Auckland. That means you've got 1.343 billion just in Auckland of missing cash that then gets, you sell the house, you downsize, you buy your car, you buy your boat, you keep your coffee shop going, you go for a few nice meals, you have a wonderful retirement, you buy a cruise down to the South Island. All of that money just disappears. And on an annual basis, because we've got the foreign buyer ban in now, this is going to carry on, you know, unless the National Party decide, no, we don't want to ban foreigners and we'll bring foreigners back into the market, which I think would be a suicide strategic move from a political perspective. But we do have to factor in that 1.343 billion in Auckland, 40% of their transactions on 3.35 billion of total missing money, that's $2,687 per household in 500,000 households. It's a lot of liquidity missing when rates are going up and you've got your petrol tax. So I don't think people are really looking behind the reality of, you strip out all that cash, it can only be replaced by debt. And debt growth has stopped growing exponentially. It's still growing, but the pace of the increase has slowed now. Where do we find the missing liquidity? That's why last week I got banned from interest for telling first-time buyers a bit more information than they really were meant to be getting. But the other thing about this is the net outflows. So when you look at the outflows of money, and this is, again, second quarter data, more people are selling their houses in New Zealand. So this magnifies the impact of it, because if you're selling and you're repatriating funds abroad, more people are now selling than are buying. So overseas people selling their properties, according to the latest figures from Stats New Zealand, June quarter of this year, 327 New Zealand homes were sold by overseas owners, while just 183 were purchased by overseas buyers. So that's quite a sharp turnaround when you compare the 1,116 bought last year. There were 492 sold last year. So the flow of money has changed quite dramatically in terms of an outflow. Will this at some point impact the New Zealand dollar if people are then selling New Zealand dollars to repatriate funds elsewhere? Don't know. Very early to say, but I think it's quite interesting when you look at the data.
Yeah, well, it's, and of course, the thing to think about on the liquidity side, right, that money that is no longer there would have been magnified because it would have been in circulation, right? So effectively it goes from person to person, from person to business, from business to person, right? So for every $100 that isn't there, the actual economic impact is a lot bigger than just the value of that money that we're talking about. And, you know, that's a very important fundamental theory of how money works. So turn the tap back slightly and the fallout through the economy is quite significant.
Yeah, and it could be 20-25% of the equivalent of the debt raised. So it's quite dramatic. Mm. Just so that I'm not just focusing on Auckland and what's going on in Auckland. Wellington, their total sales have also fallen so far in the first 6 months. So this is the Wellington region. Total sales down from 6,047 to 5,343. The residential sales, so that includes the land and new homes packages. The residential sales have fallen from 4,213 to 3,923. So that's a 6.9% drop off in transactions. So this is, again, that marginal liquidity that filters out from Auckland and goes elsewhere. I had a conversation with a chap called Tony, who's in Hawke's Bay, on the weekend, and he's been given data by his local real estate agent, June transactions in the Hawke's Bay. And part of it's because they've got fairly low stock levels at the moment. But again, you think about the missing liquidity that lower transactions means. Their sales June on June were 23% down on last year. And that is the lowest June sales since 2015. So even in the regions where prices have been going up very rapidly, the transaction volume's dropping, and that's going to mean less money created in that regional market too. The one thing to make us feel better is that it's not just us where this is happening. This is happening all over the world. This is happening in Canada. This is happening all down the west coast of the States. It's happening in the UK as well. Wall Street Journal published an article on the foreign purchasing of US house prices last week. Purchases of US homes by foreigners has dropped by 50% over the last 2 years. According to the Wall Street Journal, figures come as a blow to the top-end real estate markets in places like Miami and New York. Top-end real estate markets, again, this is where all this money was flowing. Less than $78 billion in U.S. residential real estate was purchased in the year ended March 2019, which marks a 36% decline from the $1.21 billion in the previous 12-month period. So it's happening there. Now, I haven't got it for actual transaction volumes by foreigners into the UK, but I've been able to dig into some Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs data. And just to sort of give you the background on the UK as well, HMRC data shows that there were 84,490 residential transactions on a season adjusted basis last month. So that's June, down 9.6% on a monthly basis. on an annual basis, it's far more dramatic. The figure was lower on a non-adjusted basis at 83,750, down 13.6% compared with May. And this is busy summer selling period in the Eagle, spring market period. So these would have been deals done in March and April for completion in May and June. All UK regions experienced a drop-off for the third consecutive month. So again, that's quite telling. The largest annual decline was in Wales, with sales falling 43.9% annually to 2,840. Northern Ireland registered a 30.7% drop to 1,870 sales. Transactions in England and Scotland were both down 24% annually on June to June to 70,920 and 8,120 respectively. So we're not alone. This is happening elsewhere. The US is being hit. Canada, we know, is being hit. And the UK sales volumes are dropping. And Boris, the new PM, he's getting a lot of pressure to change the stamp duty rules in the UK because credit growth is, again, flatlining. So transaction volumes, lower transaction volumes, leads to less money in circulation, leads to less money being created for the real economy to survive on. And that's what we're seeing everywhere.
Yeah, and it goes back to the fundamental point. If you base an economy and economic growth on property and speculative property investment, including from overseas, the risk is that when the tide goes out, the economy tanks.
Yeah, well, we've got this weird balance at the moment where in New Zealand, the net inflows of money are growing still for purchase of our productive assets, and it seems to just flip the other way for the sale of our non-productive assets, or our financial transaction assets. So we're in an interesting period now, but these drop-offs in volumes, and some of these numbers, they are 25-30% down in some of the regions from where they were 2015-16, when we were rocking and rolling. We were proper rock stars back then. So people need to be aware of it. And you know, if you like these posts and you like the message or the understanding, and you're not me and you can post the comments on other sites, do it. Because I think there's a lot of kids who really won't get this information anywhere else.
Yeah, it's definitely worth asking people to share the messages. And we'll continue to report and analyse what's going on. And I think it's worth underscoring that, you know, we're not fixated on one side of the argument. All we're doing is letting the data speak. And when the data is so clear and indicating significant risk in the property sector, which the mainstream media and other spruikers are not taking into account, we think there's a very important message to get out there.
Now, well, and this is the same across the whole of the Western world. There are very few comparisons made between markets. Everything's very myopic on it won't happen here. It's happening everywhere, but nobody's really talking about the crossover effect.
Yeah, well, Joe, I really appreciate your time today and some very important messages there, and we'll make sure they get out as soon as possible. Talk to you next
appreciate
time.
You giving me a voice, mate.
Cheers.
All the best.
Bye.